Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? These are some very powerful questions from Jesus today. And before we begin, I'd like to clear something up. Jesus is not asking these questions because he has identity issues. Of course, Jesus knows who he is. He's asking, though, because he wants his disciples to know how important that question about his identity is, particularly for the future of their ministry in his name. Now, what makes me say those things? Well, first, we know that Jesus isn't having an identity crisis, because what immediately follows this exchange that we heard today, and we'll hear this next week, is Jesus' prediction about his passion and death. He knows and has accepted not only his identity, but his mission. And Jesus is also aware that it's not enough for him to know and fulfill his mission. His disciples must also be clued in to who he is, and they must be empowered to spread that truth for future generations. You see, it's at this very moment when he asks his disciples who that they say he is, it's at this moment that he will change Simon's name to Peter, the rock upon whom Jesus will build his church. Before this confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, there is no Peter. There is no church. You see how important this question is to Jesus and how he wants his followers to get it right? Who do you say that I am? My friends, it's a deeply saddening fact that so many of us Christians are not preoccupied with this question. Who is Jesus? It used to be a question that drove so many people to encounter God and dedicate themselves to so many good works. Think of Augustine and his struggle for faith when he finally found that Jesus is God, the one to be worshipped. He gave his whole life to him. Or St. Ignatius of Loyola, who was a soldier, and when he encountered Christ and found out who Jesus was, he made Jesus his Lord and Master to be followed at any cost. Or Mother Teresa, who found that Jesus is truly present in the afflictions of the poor. When they found the answer to that question, their whole lives were radically changed. The Pope has been speaking a lot about this question recently. He talks particularly about how Europe has lost and even denies its Christian roots. Just this week at one of the addresses at the World Youth Day in Madrid, Pope Benedict said that there seems to be an increasing forgetfulness about who Jesus is. He said, "We see a certain eclipse of God taking place, a kind of amnesia, which albeit is not an outright rejection of Christianity, but is nonetheless a denial of the treasure of our faith, a denial that could lead to the loss of our deepest identity." You see, the loss of our deepest identity, mind you, could only come from a loss of our knowledge of the identity of Jesus, who the letter to the Hebrews calls the leader and the perfecter of our faith. As I said, the question of Jesus' identity used to be on the forefront of the minds of Christians. There's a famous example of this from about the time of the Council of Nicaea. That's way back in the early 300s. Gregory of Nyssa, one of the great fathers of the church, wrote about the debate of the time between the Catholics and the Arians, the debate about who Jesus was. And this debate didn't end in the meetings between church leaders. Gregory famously wrote, "Every corner of Constantinople was full of these discussions. The streets, the marketplaces, the shops of the money changers. Ask a tradesman how much he wants for some article in his shop, and he replies with a discourse on generated and ungenerated being. Ask the price of bread today, and the baker tells you the Son is subordinate to the Father. Ask your servant if the bath is ready, and he makes an answer, The sun arose out of nothing. Great is the only begotten, declared the Catholics. And the Arians rejoined, but greater is he that begot. You might say, well, that was the 300s, Father. They didn't have anything else to talk about. Right. There were no families or children or grandchildren or crazy distant cousins to talk about. There were no sports to discuss, no stories to share, no jokes to tell, no governments to scrutinize. They had nothing to talk about. No, life's conversation pieces were all still there. Yet the question of who Jesus was central to who they saw themselves to be. They couldn't help but talk about it, even in the marketplace, the bakery, at home. Now, coming up in a few months, you've probably heard, we'll be using a new translation of the Mass. So the whole Mass will be the same, the structure of the Mass will be the same, but some of the prayers that we will say and pray will have different words. And we'll have a lot more chances to talk about this and to prepare for it. But I bring this up because of one example of those changes. In the Creed, we now say that Jesus is one in being with the Father. But in a few months, we will be saying that Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. Now that comes right out of this debate that I was talking about earlier from the Council of Nicaea. It was a word that was meticulously chosen by the Council Fathers to explain Jesus' relationship with the Father. But my question is, how will we react to that change? Consubstantial. Well, that's quite a mouthful, Father. Or will we ask, what is this trying to say about Jesus and his relationship to the Father? How can this help me know Jesus better? Will we say, well, this is silly. Who cares? Or will we say, there must be something to this. It's important that we get this right. When was the last time that we asked the question, who is Jesus? It's a question of utter importance. Who do you say that I am? I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the questions that we hear when we meet our Lord on the judgment seat. Who do you say that I am? He's tried to tell us. He's tried to show us even. He's given us every hint imaginable that this is of utmost importance. When, at what point, do we put our hearts into the search for the answer? Now, Father, you may be thinking, you keep blabbing about the importance of the question, so why don't you just tell us who Jesus is? It's not quite that simple. This is one of those give a man a fish, teach a man a fish type things. You see, the encounter that we read about in the Gospel between Jesus and the disciples, that came after years of them following Him, of listening to His words, of watching Him and what He does, of trying to follow His example, trying to live the life. Jesus' whole life was about revealing who He is, and hence who God is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not about being told who He is. It's about living a life with Him so that Jesus Himself reveals to us who He is. Now in the end, when we know, when we discover who He is, our lives are changed because we learn who we really are. You see, it's us who have the real identity problems. We humans are the ones whose identity is in crisis. That's why we see violence. That's why we see hatred. That's why we see sin in our world. When we discover who Jesus truly is, by following Him and by living the Christian life, He gives us a new name. He makes us something new, as He did to Simon Peter. He clues us into our true identity before God. And that's why this is so important. That's why we should be seeking the answer with all our hearts, devouring the Scriptures to see what Jesus says about Himself, speaking about it at home and abroad, in the marketplace, at the water cooler, with our families, with our neighbors? Who are you, Jesus? Don't let our ideas get in the way. Jesus, reveal yourself to us.